Lord's name, praise with thanksgiving.
Let us most joyful life sing with songs of praise.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father who is from everlasting, and thy holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, the Savior heals the blind man as he is drawing near to Jericho. This Sunday, he brings salvation to Zacchaeus in his house after he has entered and passed through Jericho. You can see that the Lord is on a journey. He announced to his disciples, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all that has been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be completed or finished, which happens to be the same word that he utters from the cross. He will be given over, he says. That's Eucharistic language. He will be given over to the Gentiles. They will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. And so these healings that take place in Jericho take place as the Lord is making his way up to Jerusalem from his original place in Samaria and Galilee. Now Jesus is himself the word of the Lord who, as it says in the Septuagint Greek, agenito, which means who came to be, or who happened to the prophets. In other words, he did not come to the prophets. That's not the verb. The verb is the to become verb. He came to be. He happened to such and such a prophet. So he came to be. He happened to the prophet, not as the vocalization of a thought or an idea, but as a vision of an event yet to come, which the prophet often would convey by acting it out. So when we read the words of the prophets, we're not reading ideas. We are reading the vision that the prophet saw, that happened to him when the word of the Lord happened, came to be to him, so that we can enter into the vision of the prophet and see it ourselves when we read the scriptures in the mind of the church. This is the word, this word who came to be to the prophets. This is the same word who came to be flesh and dwelt among us. His birth of the Holy Virgin, his baptism in the Jordan, his death and resurrection are the event that the word of the Lord who came to be to the prophets is all about. Many of the gospel stories, including last Sunday's gospel, to which this morning's gospel is the sequel, are introduced by this word, eginito. It happened that Jesus, da 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 da. It came to be that Jesus, da 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 da. Leads me to wonder if the evangelists are using this word intentionally, and if they're meaning to say that the events that came to be in the life of Christ were the unfolding of the event seen by the prophets of the word of the Lord that happened to them. This is why I see this journey of the Lord up to Jerusalem as more than a journey that took place a couple of millennia ago. This is the cause of all things, as St. Maximus, whom we commemorate today, says in one of his writings. This is the cause of all things. This Jesus is the cause of all things, who, through the profusion of his intense love, going out of himself, spellbound, as it were, by goodness, love, and longing, relinquishes his transcendence, his utter transcendence, in order to abide, as he says to Zacchaeus, in our home, or in the temple of our heart. This journey of the Lord up to Jerusalem, this is the event, I'm quite sure, seen by the prophets in the vision of the word of the Lord that happened to them. But dear brothers and sisters, the church is the body of this word of the Lord who came to be flesh. In the mystery of Christ's body, the church, this journey of the Lord up to Jerusalem is happening in a hidden way here and now in you. May we therefore say that hidden in Zacchaeus climbing the sycamore tree seeking to see Jesus is your climbing the steps to come into the church this morning. Zacchaeus had no idea that in climbing the sycamore to see Jesus, he was drawing near the path of the eternal mystery of Christ's holy Pascha. So also, you may have come this morning, both Orthodox and non-Orthodox, you may have come this morning having no clue that in the worship of the Orthodox Church, you draw near this changeless path of the eternal mystery of Christ's holy Pascha, the mystery of Christ in you. The real drama in this morning's gospel, therefore, is hidden, for it's happening in Zacchaeus' soul. But it brings to light the paschal drama of the Word of God happening in us. The Word of God, who is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, draws near and looks up at us and calls to our heart. Come down. It is necessary for me to abide in your house today. It is necessary. This refers to the word that came to be to the prophets. Its content is the Lord's cross and holy resurrection. Your house that he must come into today. This is the tomb of our heart. as St. Macarius calls it, or the house of Sheol, as it says in Proverbs, where we are dead in our sins and trespasses, which according to the word of the prophets, this word of the Lord would descend into and would illumine with a life-creating and healing brilliance of his uncreated glory, just as we read on the Sunday right after Theophany. When Christ comes out of the wilderness, having defeated the devil, he comes into Galilee and he begins his ministry. And what is this one? And the evangelist quotes from Zechariah and Isaiah the prophet. Those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Those sitting in the region and in the shadow of death, on them a great light has risen. I pray that we would see the inner drama hidden in this morning's gospel. The inner drama happening in our soul, though it may be hidden to us because of our hardness of heart. It's the drama of the soul beholding the bridegroom who comes at midnight. That mystical point where the soul, shall we say, is small of stature, a powerless wraith who longs to pass over into the light and life of the new day of the Lord, but can't. She's always falling back into the gloomy darkness of the old day, back into the gloomy prison of a lonely nothingness. It is necessary, the Lord says to Zacchaeus. Many times he says to his disciples, it is necessary that the Son of Man suffer and die and rise again on the third day. So do you see the meaning hidden in the Lord's word to Zacchaeus? It is necessary that I come and that I abide in your house today. Do you see the hidden meaning? The Lord is calling Zacchaeus from the eternal mystery of his cross. It says that Zacchaeus came down with joy and that he stood and said, lo, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Can you see how Zacchaeus' repentance is the spontaneous compulsion of his joy? It is a concrete form of denying himself and losing his life for the sake of Christ and his gospel. Can you feel in this joy manifested in Zacchaeus his love for the Savior engendering in him a longing to repent, a longing to deny himself, a longing to lose his life for the sake of Christ and his gospel? St. Isaac of Nineveh says somewhere, in the light of the divine, we see our sins. It seems to me that we are right to say that the light of God shines most brilliantly in a hidden way, in other words, in the heart, from his cross, when he bows his head and says, it is finished. All that was written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man is finished in that moment when Christ bows his head and dies on the cross. And I'm saying at that moment is when the light of God shines most brilliantly. See how the gospel places us this morning, already, at the matins of Great and Holy Friday, the matin service of the 12 of the Lamentation Gospels, the 12 Passion Gospels that we sing on Great and Holy Thursday evening. When we look up at the end of the service, we look up at the Lord on his tree. This inner drama of Zacchaeus' repentance, proceeding spontaneously from the joy and love for the Savior that baptized his soul when he beheld the love of God in the face of Jesus Christ, shining with inexpressible brilliance from the it is necessary, from the eternal mystery of his cross. This inner drama of Zacchaeus' repentance, this is the path of Great Lent that we are about to go on. going up to Jerusalem with the Savior through Jericho, our soul. See how this path of Great Lent proceeds from the vision of the love of God shining forth from the mystery of his cross, set before us in the prophetic and apostolic word, to our own participation in the mystery of his cross through a repentance that's made concrete, incarnate in the cross, the ascetic disciplines of the church that we will take up in Great Lent. The liturgical worship of the church is centered on Holy Eucharist. As often as you do this, says St. Paul, you proclaim the Savior's death. What are we proclaiming when we proclaim the Savior's death? You proclaim the inexpressible love of God who came into the world to save sinners. In Holy Eucharist shines the light of God that St. Isaac of Syria of Nineveh is speaking of. It is the love of God who came into the world not to judge us, not to condemn us, but to save us, to save us. To save means to heal. It means to heal, to make whole. It means to deliver us from hell. Seeing him on the cross, we see how he emptied himself to share in our flesh and blood. God became man that he might become like us, even to the point that he might become one with us in our death. And so he became a corpse on the cross. This is the great mystery that the philosophers of the world count as foolishness. This is the mystery that the angels longed to look into. This is the mystery that was prefigured, that was the in outline form in this word of the Lord that happened to the prophets. He was wounded for our transgressions, says the prophet Isaiah, as he looks at this mystery in the vision of the word of the Lord that happened to him. He was wounded for our transgressions. So it is that our wounds, the wounds of our soul and spirit and mind, even the wounds of our body, are healed by his wounds. He himself became a corpse. Read St. Mark's Gospel. I think it's chapter 16 or 15, whatever, the end of the Gospel. It's as though St. Mark is making it a point that this Jesus is now a corpse. He uses that word, ptoma, corpse, I think 3 or 4 times, to emphasize that this Jesus, who is God the Word, is now a corpse. He became a corpse. He himself became a corpse. Just like we will. So it is that by his death, he has destroyed our death. And so now, when we talk about the death of the martyrs, as we read it in the epistle, the gospel this morning, it is by their death that they glorify God. Why? Because in death, we proclaim our love for the God who in his love died for us. He makes our heart into a bridal chamber. Our death, he makes into the death of the law of sin, which is embodied in us, and the way by which we now become one with him, the way by which we now pass over with him into eternal life as children of God, partakers even of the divine nature. I didn't make that up. That's from the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. The Word of God himself, living and abiding in us as we live and abide in his love. This is the mystery of God. This is what the Word of the Lord that happened to the prophets was all about. And it was fulfilled, it was finished, it was completed in the mystery of God dying on the cross for us. And this, we learn from the church, is not alien to us. To be united with God, to become one with God, this is not alien to us. We learn from the church that this is to be restored to our original beauty. In this mystery, we become who we really are. When the soul beholds in the vision of the apostolic and prophetic word, the inexpressible humility and compassion of God shining so brilliantly from the cross, how can the soul not long to be cleansed? How can she not long to be healed and to belong to this Christ who ascended the cross in the flesh in his love for us? But she is so short of stature. She's feeble, she's weak, she has no strength, she has such little courage. She doesn't know how to repent. And so the church, the bride of Christ, comes to her in the love of the mother for her son and of the son for his mother. And the church gives voice to the soul's longing. She teaches us what to say and how to pray. Oh, my Savior, she has us sing. I see thy bridal chamber adorned, but I have no wedding garment that I may enter. O giver of light, make radiant the garment of my soul and save me. This is the theme of Great Lent. In the mystery of the Lord's Holy Cross, it is necessary. The church gives to us Great Lent. Great Lent is the way of repentance the soul longs for, the soul who has seen her sins in the light of God's love, the God who does not condemn her, the God who does not judge her, but the God who wants to heal her and make her beautiful like he is. Great Lent is the church guiding us in the way of repentance up to Jerusalem, to be united with our Lord God and Savior in the likeness of his death and resurrection, restored to our original beauty as children of God, partakers of the divine nature. How can the soul not sing out, O Lord, glory to thee. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.